Let's pray together. Father, how good it is to be in your house this morning, to be gathered with your people. Father, to be filled with truth, to know truth, to worship the truth. Father, to exalt your name, to proclaim it from here, around the county, from our homes, in our offices, at schools, at the grocery store, at every place we go, proclaiming the greatness of your name. How wonderful it is simply to say the name Jesus and all that Jesus is for us, all the love and the grace and the mercy given to us because of Jesus. Father, how great you are. Father, we thank you that we can gather this morning to hear from you, to read your word, to know who you are. But Father, we can't do it on our own, so we ask for your Holy Spirit to come. Fill this place, fill our hearts. Father, open our eyes and our ears to the wonder of your name and to the truth of your word. Father, I pray that you will not only speak from this pulpit, but Father, you'll speak from all the pulpits here in King George, that you will be with the preachers this morning all throughout the county, that they will preach your word as you intend it, that it will be nothing else, no other message other than the greatness of your name and your love and your mercy shown perfectly and supremely through your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that the lost will hear your words this morning and that you will be merciful and you will save them, Father. Father, take an unbeliever and miraculously pour your truth into them. Give them new hearts, new minds, and may they be called one of your own. Father, may they enjoy the fellowship with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for Pastor Roy Garza this morning as he prepares his group to move to California and to plant Pillar Church of 29 Palms. Father, I pray that you will bless that core team. Father, I pray that you will strengthen them. Father, I lift up Derek and Tamar Cooper as they join Pastor Roy, his family, the Cartwrights, and the other families. Father, I pray that you will go before them, that you will prepare hearts and minds there in 29 Palms. That the gospel will be heralded, it will be proclaimed, the truth of your word, the might of your name, the glory of your name will be heard at Pillar 29 Palms. That they will make much of Jesus and many will know who he is. Be with them, Father, as they prepare. Give them what they need. Give them the finances that they need, the like-minded believers who can come alongside them and help serve. Father, for the partners that they need, the prayers, I pray for more of us to regularly pray for this new church plant. Father, we pray for the Vinayan people of India. Over 11 million people, yet again, who don't know the truth of your word or the greatness of your name. They stand before you condemned, Father. 11 million souls condemned. Father, have mercy on them. Send more missionaries to that people. Raise up from within them leaders and pastors, church planters, Father, so that the truth of your word and the greatness of your name will be heard and will be adored and worshiped, and you will save more of the Vinayan people, Father, we pray. Lord, we pray for Pastor Vijay Misala and Reach All Nations, where Reach All Nations seeks to train pastors in Central Asia and surrounding areas, planting churches, raising up and strengthening the churches there, Father. We pray that you'll be with them, that your grace will be evident in their work, that they'll be strengthened by the truth, that they will be strengthened by the joy and the partnership that they have with brothers and sisters here. Father, we pray that you will go before them and more people will be saved through that ministry, Father. Father, for us, as we prepare to begin the ABC ministry, Father, give us wisdom in that and discernment. Father, may we have a burden for the lost, a burden for our unsaved neighbors and family members, Father. Father, may we enter the community seeking the lost as you have sought us. May the truth of your word and the greatness of your name go forth in that ministry, Father. And Lord, now as we turn to your word, help us to see the truth and the greatness of who you are. Amen. This past year was our family's first year of homeschooling, as many of you know. It was quite a change for us. It's been a good change. Lots of learning, lots to do. Christian and I have definitely enjoyed it, and our kids, well, they've enjoyed parts of it. It's tough. We've put in a lot of energy, we've put in a lot of time, but it's been really good for our family. Most of you already know the joys and the challenges of homeschooling. It is both a joy and a challenge to dive into all of the subjects, teaching our kids all of the academics. For science, we've done a number of science experiments this year at home, some really cool ones. One that Christian did with our youngest daughter, Kalia. For her science experiment, Christian and Kalia monitored the growth of seeds. They filled the middle of a clear plastic cup, and in the middle they put a cardboard roll filled with soil. Then they stuffed the outside of the cup with tissue paper. And then every week they put in a new seed around the outside of the plastic cup. And Kalia got to see the process of a seed growing into a plant. Got to see the germination, the roots growing and spreading all throughout, and then the sprout that pops up and such. Very cool. Every morning, Kalia would run down the stairs, go over to her little cup, and check out and see what new has happened to the plants. And she would keep it watered. She would put it by the window, and it would get the sun it needed. It got the water it needed. And then Kalia would write down what she saw, and that was the science experiment. What do you think caused those seeds in that plastic cup to grow? They needed the warmth of the sun. The seeds need a right amount of sunlight. If they don't get enough sunlight, what happens to the seed? It rots, right? Too much of it, and it gets scorched and burned up. They needed the right amount of water. If it got too much water, the seed would get soggy and fall apart. Not enough water, and it would dry up and become brittle and flake apart. So what caused the seeds to grow? Was it the sun? Did the water cause it to grow? Or was it Kalia or a Christian who caused the seed to grow? Well, most of us know none of those is the answer. None of them caused it to grow. The sun and the water, even Kalia and Christian, were not the sources of growth. The sun and the water were conditions for growth. Kalia and Christian helped set the conditions for growth to occur. The answer, what causes the seed to grow? The answer is God. God caused the seed to grow. The seed needs the sun. The seed needs water. It even needed Kalia and Christian to care for the seed. But God is the source of growth. Scripture is clear that God causes growth. Please turn with me to Psalm 65, beginning in verse 9. I know we're currently going through our series in 1 Corinthians, and we'll get there this morning. But what we need to see is in the essence of our text is shown in this psalm. Psalm 65, beginning in verse 9. Hear the word of the Lord. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. Your water, its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. God is the source of life. He is the source of growth. He cares for the earth, the psalm says. He enriches it abundantly. His streams are filled with water. He prepares, he ordains, he provides the grain. He waters the furrows or the plow trenches and levels its ridges. God softens the ground with rain and blesses its growth. He crowns the year with his bounty. His wagon overflows with abundance. God caused those seeds to grow. Here in King George, we're surrounded by many farms, miles and miles of farmland, full of good soil and lots of crops. Right up the road is a large farm that's maintained all year long. When Kalia was doing that science experiment, she'd get excited to see that farm. As she did her experiment, she would see the farm out there and the seeds, the plants, and she was able to make those connections. And that farmer is out there all the time working in his fields. He grows all kinds of different things. If you were to ask him, or any farmer in our area, if they caused their crops to grow, they would look at you like you have no idea what you're talking about. You must be a city dweller with no outdoor experience. Every farmer knows that it takes hard work. It takes dedication and vigilance to farm the land. But they don't cause a single vegetable to grow. Every farmer will tell you that they need to have the right growing conditions. During the year, there's a planting season, then there's a growing season, and then there's a harvest season. In the planting season, you till the ground, you prepare the soil, you may add fertilizer and other minerals to the soil, and you plant the seed. In the growing season, farmers care for their crops. They may weed the soil. They care for the crops by protecting them from the insects that attack them, and they do a lot more things. But not one farmer causes their crops to grow. They merely create the conditions for growth to take place. God caused every seed to grow. He is the source. God gives physical life, and we know he also gives spiritual life. God causes growth. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he's been addressing problems in the church. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul discussed wisdom. He described the Corinthians as rejecting the message of the cross in favor of human wisdom. It fit their culture, and it looked immediately applicable and appealing to them. This sounds familiar. In our area, there are churches who have rejected the wisdom of the cross and adopted worldly practice to appeal to the crowds. Redeemer Church must never be that kind of church. We must never turn away from the message of the cross. If I turn away from the message of the cross, you should run me out of here and find someone who preaches the message of the cross. We must always look to what Christ has done and proclaim the good news of the cross. In God's wisdom, he gave us the cross for our hope and our joy. No human work, no human message will ever help or save anybody. Beginning in chapter 3 of Paul's letter, Paul describes what it means to be spiritual, where being spiritual is accepting and understanding the power of the Spirit, where all of life is seen through the lens of Christ, where God in Christ is the source of life and growth. And spiritual maturity is then growing in Christ. In our text in 1 Corinthians, Paul exposes the unique and divine nature of the church and its leadership. This is a shared experience with one another of gospel truth. Spiritual people who are being conformed to Christ together, helping each other to see more of Christ, ministering to one another to pursue Christ, sharing our lives so that we all become more like Christ, and of course, proclaiming Christ. He is adored and worshiped among our community and our neighbors, growing and maturing in Christ together. Leaders in the church help with all of this. Church leaders help create and set those conditions for that spiritual maturity to take place. They're like farmers. Some church leaders plant seeds, some water the seeds. Leaders watch over the church like a farmer watches over the field. And church leaders care for the people like farmers care for the crops. But no church, no one in the church, no church leader in the church causes a single believer to grow in the faith. Like farmers, church leaders work the ground, they care for the field, and then they hope for God to cause and to give growth. That's what our text is about this morning. That's why we began in the psalm, to see that it's God who causes the growth. Let's now look at our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. If you need a Bible, please feel free to grab one off the back counter there. And as I read, knowing that the message of the cross is the message that this church proclaims, and this is God's wisdom and not man's, it's not our wisdom, this is God's wisdom, let's look in our text for the divine nature of the church and the proper role of its leaders under Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Amen. May God give us eyes to see him in his word this morning and a heart to love him more deeply and supremely in our lives. Let's look at the first part of the overall theme of this text and the divine nature of the church. In verses 5 and 6, Paul begins with, what is Apollos? What is Paul? If you remember, the Corinthians were split in the church over who was the better leader. Was it Paul? Was it Apollos? Remember earlier in the letter, was it Peter? Or is it Christ? Who's the better leader? Paul's the one that established the church. He's the one who planted it. Apollos came later and watered. He discipled and he helped the Corinthians grow in their faith, in their ministry. He helped grow and strengthen the community. And now the Corinthians are arguing over who was the better leader. Paul has examined the Corinthians' division, the factions that they formed, and has said their whole approach is wrong because it didn't align with the message of the cross. Now here in our text, Paul is directly taking on who the Corinthians are fighting over. Some thought Apollos was the better leader. He was apparently more eloquent in speech. People in Corinth really valued good orators, really good speakers, and he fit the mold. They thought if someone spoke really well, then they must have the right answers and they're worthy of following. Others thought Paul was the better leader. He was the man who started the church, and Christ had personally appeared to Paul. Paul must have been more spiritual than any of the other leaders. He's worthy of following. But notice Paul doesn't ask, who is Apollos? Or who is Paul? What have they done? Which one has contributed more? Which one has done more for the church? Paul doesn't ask that. Paul is not concerned with the leader's ability to draw a crowd or their ability even as leaders. Paul says, what is Apollos? What is Paul? This phrase points to the low position of these men. He's impersonalizing, if you will, these leaders and saying, what is that? Not who, as in these people and raising them up, which one's better, but what? What is that? You guys have gotten off message. We need to get back on message here. They did not rank in the highest priority is what Paul is saying. When he says, what is Apollos? What is Paul? These were just men. They're not worthy for the Corinthians to stake their whole lives on. They're not worthy to put all of their devotion and trust in. They're not worthy of it. These men are not worthy of aligning to. Paul says, what are they? He drives home the lowliness of himself and Apollos. They are merely servants who serve the master. They are instruments that God used for belief to form in the Corinthians. God used these leaders to set conditions for growth to take place. But who's the source of growth? God. God is the source of growth. Paul and Apollos are servants through whom you believe as the Lord assigned to each. Do you notice who Paul is pointing to? What is Apollos? What is Paul? What is Jim Rieger? Servants. We're merely servants. The Lord assigns belief. The Lord gives growth. He's the source. Paul and Apollos were mechanisms that God used for belief to take root in the Corinthians. They are servants. It's the same word, diakonos, that we use for deacons. They're servants of the church. They assist. They serve in the way that the Lord designs. That's what we need to understand about church leaders. Church leaders lead in the way that's already been designed for them by God. They are servants and they serve the church. They set conditions for belief to occur. But neither Paul nor Apollos nor Jim Rieger nor any church leader causes belief to happen. No church leader does that. Do the Corinthians really want to align themselves to men? That's like trusting a parachute to safely land on the ground, when really it's the person who designed the parachute and the person who packed the parachute that's responsible for how well that parachute is going to work. Paul doesn't just point out the low status of him and Apollos. He says they are servants used by God for the Corinthians to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. How foolish it is to stop at human leaders and put all of our trust in them and in what they say. The Lord assigns belief. It's in His word. He causes growth. Paul and Apollos serve at the Lord's pleasure. People make up the church, but people don't make the church. They make up the church, but they don't make the church. God forms the church. He is its essence. He creates belief. He transforms hearts. He establishes its leaders. God's church originates in eternity past, when God designed for the church to be His people, and He decided to build His church. To Christ's work on the cross, to His Spirit giving new life by His power, to God then growing His church. God is the source, and He's the means by which the church grows. Men like Paul and Apollos are not optional in the composition of the church. Church leaders are not optional in the structure, the formation of a church. Paul is saying that church leaders are necessary, but they are dispensable. It's important to understand the distinction there. Church leaders are necessary, but every church leader is dispensable. The role of church leaders is important because God has ordained for the use of the function of a leader to care for the church. They set the conditions for growth, but they are merely field hands in God's field. They are replaceable. This is what Paul and Apollos are compared to in verse 6, as field hands in the Lord's field. Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." Both roles are important. The one who plants and the one who waters are essential to the church. But the person who plants will eventually be replaced by another who leads it. Leaders come and go, but the work of the Lord goes on forever. Pastors will be replaced by pastors. Missionaries are replaced by missionaries. And the church needs both. Local churches need leaders to establish the church, and they need leaders to carry on the ministry of caring for the church. But neither have the responsibility of increasing the harvest of the church. They are workers in the field who get their hands dirty by caring for the ground, working the ground, caring for the field, watching over for the pests and the thieves to come in and destroy the field. But growth is not in their power. God brings in his harvest. Church, don't set your eyes on men for the grace that only God gives. Don't look to pastors for life when only the Lord can provide the life. Look to Jesus, through whom God's free gift of grace is given abundantly. Even later on in 1 Corinthians, when Paul tells the Corinthians, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." He's pointing onward to Christ. Or he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Paul is not the focus. Christ is the focus. It ends with Christ. It doesn't end with Paul or any human leader. Christ is our source. He's our example. He's our leader who we obediently follow. And he causes growth, both individually and corporately. God causes growth. Notice the verb tense, though, that Paul uses. He says in past tense, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." It's past tense. But Paul's and Apollos' work has a definite end. It ended. He planted, Apollos watered, and their job was done. It was fulfilled. But God gave the growth. Another way to say that is God has been making it grow. It's something done in the past and it continues to happen and will forever happen because God's work doesn't end. God has been making it grow. Throughout the planting and the watering, it's God who makes belief grow. Throughout the planting and the watering, God causes it. He determines belief. God causes the church to increase. He germinates that seed and causes it to grow. The hand of God advances the gospel. Church, we cannot do anything to advance God's gospel. We merely set the conditions. We are mechanisms. We are his instruments so that God will advance his gospel. Humans don't expand God's kingdom. People are conduits through which God advances the gospel, both upward in us as we increase in faith and joy, and outward in the expansion of the church, in its number, in God's kingdom. It's God's sovereign choice to establish and grow his church. God has determined to have leaders in his church who fill these assigned roles but their roles are no more important than the rest of the ministries in the church. The church in Corinth had become weak because they were relying on the personality of their leaders to drive their ministry. No man can take that on indefinitely, and no one can provide the stability and the fortitude that the church needs except God. God is the source. He provides the growth. These are men who God uses to establish and strengthen the church. But when the church becomes dependent on a church leader, that leader is the weak link in the ministry chain. You and I ought to be careful in how much we devote ourselves to leaders in the church. If we're not careful, you and I can say, I follow this person or I follow that person. The way they speak is so uplifting and encouraging, and we've gotten off track on what the real message is. The message is, Christ is our leader. The message of the cross, that's what we proclaim. That's who we follow. These are men whose ministries reached many, many people. There are men today who God uses to establish and strengthen the church. But when the church becomes dependent on that person, they provide a weak gap in the church. There are men who have ministries that are posted all over the internet and social media. They have apps and they have resources. And some of these men are faithful expositors of God's word. But none of them cause the church to grow. None of them causes growth in your own heart. None of them can replace the church or its leaders who God has put in place for our good. The church is ordained by God in His wisdom and power, and it leads, and its leaders serve at the direction and the pleasure of God. These are the conditions that God has ordained to put in place for your growth and for the expansion of God's kingdom. The church is ordained by God, and its leaders follow Christ and serve at His pleasure. The divine nature of the church. He is the source. Next, the proper role of the church leaders is under Christ, who is the head of the church. Please look with me again at verses 7 and 8. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Paul reiterates again that the one who plants and the one who waters is nothing when compared to Christ. Anyone who seeks status and esteem by linking themselves to a human leader should recognize how low, in fact, that human leader is when compared to Christ. Now here in these verses, Paul is not saying that leaders are worthless. They are necessary. They help set the conditions. I don't think my role in the church is worthless. I think it's an important role. When Paul says neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, he's saying no human leader, myself included, is worthy of your utmost loyalty and devotion. You only listen to leaders who share more of Christ. You only follow leaders who are following Christ. You only minister and serve with leaders who center their work on Christ. Paul is saying when respect and partiality for church leaders go so far as to cause division and splits, then both the church and the leader have turned from their focus. They've turned away from the message of the cross. Christ is in his rightful place when all the attention, the adoration, and love is geared towards him and him alone. No church leader can cause a single seed to grow. Just like little Kalia did not cause that single seed to grow in her cup. No church leader can cause faith to grow. Only God who gives the growth, Paul says. Church leaders serve important roles, but they are serving toward one unified goal of bringing glory to Jesus Christ. The one who waters and the one who plants are both servants. Paul says they are one. They're both servants. And when church leaders do that, they're striving towards the same thing. The one who plants, the one who waters, are all striving to set the conditions for God to cause the growth and reap in his harvest. They both hope in God to give the increase. Church leaders should not be compared to one another. God gives different gifts to different people for different reasons to accomplish different goals. Church leaders serve different purposes that God puts in place, and he says each will receive his wages according to his labor. Faithful church leaders have a future reward. The mature respond to God's grace, then work in his fields, and then receive a blessing from him beyond any accolade, beyond any commendation in this world that can be offered to them. God's field hands have a reward that's coming from him. They are responsible to God for serving his church in the way he prescribes in his word, and how they care for his people by the love he has for his church. The reason for all of this is in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. It's wrong to align ourselves to certain legitimate Christian leaders because it undermines the role that those Christian leaders fill. All Christian leaders who faithfully serve God's church are under the headship of Christ and belong to God. The leaders and the church all belong to God. The leaders, the field hands in the field, and the field, God's church, all belong to God. Just like the farmer who works the land, who puts their life into raising the crops and hopes for the harvest, so church leaders do the good work of the ministry in hopes of God giving the harvest, in hopes of him giving his grace to his people and pouring his life-saving power into them so roots will establish and they'll become strengthened and grow into a strong, mighty tree for him. Paul's words to the Corinthians about seeing who is really worthy of making much is relevant today. Paul's words to the Corinthians about seeing who's really worthy making much of is relevant for today. It's God who deserves our affection, our full devotion and loyalty. Christian leaders are important, but they only serve the church. Their role is assisting the church to see much of Jesus. Here's how one Bible scholar puts it. Quote, to accord Christian leaders too high a stature is to ignore their impotence without the power of the life-giving Spirit. End of quote. Christian leaders are powerless without God's Spirit. Christian leaders do not cause a single growth to happen. A church leader cannot cause your faith, cannot help grow your love in Christ. They merely help set conditions for God to do his work in your life. Christian leaders are powerless to bring about any change in a person. Only by the power of the Spirit working through them can anyone be conformed to Christ. There's a difference between source of growth and conditions for growth. The right conditions do not produce growth. Only the source can produce growth. Unity in the church comes about and is maintained by the church and its leaders looking together to Christ as the source of life. He provides growth to the seed. He's the one that's going to increase your faith. He's the one that's going to help you throughout life. And this church, our fellow brothers and sisters, church leaders, we all help, we assist, but we're powerless to do anything. It's God who does it all. Let's pray.